Indeed, a wonderful morning. We're excited about the wonderful journey you're about to begin, Pastor Benjamin. Praise the Lord. Miracle Life, we are so glad you joined us this morning. We continue the series that we've been looking at, a heart like David's. And so we spent a couple of weeks just looking at that and learning from how David lived his life and some of the responses that he gave to the different situations that he had. This morning, I would like to pick it up from there and share in another direction, just building up from where Pastor Benjamin left last week. And we're going to look at Psalm 40 this morning. Psalm 40. And if we look at the background of this psalm, it is stated that David may have sung this psalm or song when all that the Lord had promised him came to pass or was fulfilled in his life. And we will learn quite a lot from this psalm, but I'd like to begin by sharing a story. And this is a story of the bird that lost its song. It's a story of a bird that lost its song. So there once was a little canary that was such a little happy bird. His song would fill the whole house with joy and happiness. Every morning he would start singing and would sing until it was bedtime. Every morning as he sang, the owner of the house or the lady of the house would enjoy the bird singing. One day, the woman of the house decided to take a shortcut with cleaning of his cage. And so she got a vacuum cleaner. And so she proceeded to vacuum up the mess. The phone rang and she ran to answer it, leaving the vacuum running. All of a sudden, there was an awful sound as a little bird was sucked into the vacuum. The woman ran and opened the vacuum and rescued the little bird. But the trauma was too much for the little Tweety. He survived, but he never sang again. It is one thing we learn from this story is that sometimes it's easy to lose your joy and forget how to sing. From last week, we saw how that David was in a mess and made mistakes, but still ran to God and looked to God, who was his redeemer, God who is a forgiver of sins. But also, knowing the kind of God that he saved, David would still run to him, and constantly we've seen, and that's why David is called a man after God's own heart, because even when he messed up, he would still run to God and not run away from God. This bird forgot how to sing, and sometimes we are faced in such situations. We are faced with situations where things are tough, things are bad, or we fall into sin or fall into trouble. We forget how to sing. And the singing may be that we forget even the giftings that God has placed on us or the ability to do that which God called us to do. We end up sidelining it. But that is not what we see from the life of David. And so join me to read Psalm 40 and we'll begin from verse 1, which says, I waited patiently and expectantly for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of tumult and of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, steadying my footsteps and establishing my path. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear with great reverence and will trust confidently in the Lord. Blessed, fortunate, prosperous, and favored by God is the man who makes the Lord his trust. And he does not regard the proud, nor those who lapse in lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts towards us. There is none to compare with you. If I would declare and speak of your wonders, there would be too many to count. Sacrifice and meal offering do not desire, nor do you delight in them. You have opened my ears and given me the capacity to hear and obey your word. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you do not require. Then I said, Behold, I come to the throne. In the scroll of the book it was written, it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaimed good news of righteousness and the joy that comes from obedience to you in the great assembly. Behold, I will not restrain my lips from proclaiming your righteousness, as you know, O Lord. I have not concealed your righteousness within my heart. I have proclaimed your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. Do not withhold your compassion and tender mercy from me. O Lord, your loving kindness and your truth will continually preserve me. Your innumerable evils have encompassed me. My sins overtaken me so that I'm not able to see. They are more numerous than the hairs of my head, and my heart has failed me. But be pleased, O Lord, to save me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let those be ashamed and humiliated together who seek my life to destroy it. Let those be bent back in defeat and dishonor who delight in my head. Let those be appalled and desolate because of their shame who say to me, Aha, aha, rejoicing in my misfortune. Verse 16, Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love you, who love your salvation, say continually, The Lord be magnified. Even though I'm afflicted and needy, still the Lord takes thought and is mindful of me. You are my help and my rescue. My God, do not delay. Hallelujah. Wonderful psalm that we see here. And quite a few things that I would like to share with you. And for the purpose of this psalm, I will not be able to kind of dissect the whole psalm. I'll be able to pick out a few verses that I'll be able to highlight. But I encourage you to keep reading this and also reading the scriptures that we keep posting on our social media platforms that will help you in the daily reading of scripture. And so, if we look at verse 1 of Psalm 40, we see that David realized one thing. Is that he says, I waited patiently and expectantly for the Lord. And he inclined to me and heard my cry. It reminds me of something, is that we can call on the name of the Lord and we will be saved. And therefore, this morning, I'd like to submit three things to you that you should take away and be able to implement in your life and know and learn from the heart of David. And that is the first thing, is that God hears your cry, so you ought to call unto him. God hears your cry. Call unto him. It's the reason why David realized and he says, I waited patiently and expectantly for the Lord. And he inclined to me and heard my cry. God hears your cry, child of God. In Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3, he says, Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. I think we are faced with different challenges. And today, we're living in a time when we need to call on God. We need to call on God. Because we have a pandemic that is before us, that has been taking lives, that has been affecting the way we do life. Life is not as it used to be. Things are happening differently. Child of God, in the midst of such trouble, we can call on God. Why can we call on God? Why should we call on God? Because we know that he will hear us. We know that he will answer us. And that's why his word declares that call on me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things you do not know. Are you in trouble? Are you facing a challenge right now? Call on the Lord. Because when you call unto him, he hears your cry. David knew that. David saw that. And that's why he could say, I waited patiently. Why did he wait patiently? He knew that his God would answer him. In this life, I'm sure you may have experienced a situation where somebody tells you, I will come and see you tomorrow. And they don't show up. They don't call. When you call them, say, I'm sorry, something came up, I will come tomorrow. They don't show up. The next time they will tell you to say, I will show up, you are not even expecting them to come. If they show up, you're like, oh, at least you made it. That is not the God that we serve. We can be expectant to receive from God because He is true and His word is true. And the Bible says He watches over His word to perform it. So when we call, He hears and He answers. Call on the name of the Lord in the day of trouble. He will answer you. He will set you free. Not only that, He wants to show you great and mighty things which you do not know of. He will show you great things. David, like I said earlier on, in the psalm is written at a time when he had experienced the fulfillment of the promises of God in his life. He began to walk in them and he saw them fulfilled. Therefore, he could declare that I waited patiently and I saw the Lord came through for me and he heard my cry. Secondly, number two, my second point is do not stay in the mud. Yes, we call on the name of the Lord. But don't stay in the mud. Don't stay in the dirt. Step out. Move out. Because sometimes we call, yet we're still seated in the mud. And expecting that the Lord Himself will lift us up. Instead of us taking our stay, because the Lord will lift us and He'll stretch out His hand to help us. But we have to be willing to step out. In Psalm 40 and verse 2, He says, and He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He did that, but I was willing to follow Him. I was willing when the Lord called out, I stretched out my hand. This is one of the things I believe. I'm reminded of the story of Peter, when Jesus was walking on water, and Peter says, Lord, if it is you, let me come to you. And then Peter began to walk on water. And when he realized that there was a storm and he was walking on water, he was afraid and began to sink. He was before the Lord. But the Bible says that he cried out for help unto the Lord. I believe if he never cried out for help, he might have drowned. He was there in the presence of the Lord. There's the reason why the Bible says, ask and you shall be given. Seek and you shall find. So He has given us the opportunity to help us. He's saying, I want to help you. But it is us to reach out because we serve a God that is loving and gentle. He will not force His way. It is only the devil that forces His way. But God is there waiting on you. Call on Him like I said earlier on and He will help you. But you need to get out of the mud. The Lord desires to get you out of the pain. The Lord desires to get you out of the pit. The Lord desires to get you out of that place that has been a troublesome place for you. David was through these situations. David had lost a son. David had caused somebody to die, somebody's husband to die. David was in a mess. Yet still, he realized one thing, that he can call on the Lord will answer him. And then he realizes one thing, the Lord lifted me up from the pit. He set my feet upon the rock. Because why? He knew that God is safe, but also he took a step that I will go to the Lord. One thing I desire is to be in the house of the Lord, he would declare. Step out of the mud. Many of the times we have heard of believers now and then who, when you ask them, they are not even serving in church. They're not doing anything in church. They are seated and you're asking them, what is happening in your life? They say, I'm waiting on the Lord. Child of God, many are the times we're waiting on the Lord when actual sense, the Lord is waiting on you to get out of the mud. It's time that you get out of that mud. It's time that you get out of that pit. It's time that you get out of that mess that has been entangling you for such a long time. For some of us, the mud is sin. We've been hiding and sticking around sin for such a long time that we've acclimatized to that situation that we do not know anything else besides the sin. It's time to step out of the mud. Child of God, we're in a time where we're not meeting physically. This is one of the most challenging times, but it is also one of the times that will show and be able to prove and test your walk with God. Because we are at a time that if you do not encourage yourself to pray, no one will. Because you are by yourself. Many of the times you might be encouraged by the brother who you meet physically, and worse off, if you're not even in a connection group, you are almost on the outside. Child of God, get out of the mud. Be part of the family. Be part of what God is doing. And your life will never be the same again. Your life will never be the same again. God wants us to get out of the mud. He wants us to get us out of that pain. But it's a decision that we ought to make. We decide. He says, I lay before you life and death. Choose life that you may live. It's up to us. The Bible is a wonderful story in the book of Luke chapter 23. And in verse 32, is a story the Bible says, two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. This is Jesus when he was being executed on the cross. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by lots. Okay? I'd like to skip and go to verse 39. Verse 39 says, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God? He said. Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today, not tomorrow, today you will be with me in paradise. Today you will be with me in paradise. Such a beautiful scripture with interesting situations there. It's interesting that Jesus had to be killed with two criminals on the side. And we learn something great there. They all were in the same situation. The one on the right, the one on the left. They all were criminals. The Bible does not tell us what they had stolen or maybe what they had done. All we know is that they were criminals. And for them to be hung or crucified to death, it means that probably they could have done something wrong that was really big. But then you see one thing here. One of them, because of the condition of his heart, the condition of his heart was in pain. The pain that was there. And so all he did, because he was not in the right condition of his heart, he just began to insult. That is what he had. Okay? That is what he had. But there's something that is interesting about this picture that is being painted before us. And I'd like to explain a few things here. Is that when the Romans would hang somebody on the cross, obviously they would nail their hands and the feet. Is that the idea was that the chest would sag on the cross, on the tree. And eventually, because for you to breathe, you have been stretched so hard, for you to breathe, you would need to stretch yourself up for your lungs to have the capacity to breathe. Otherwise, you would die. And so that meant that somebody would be hanging there and failing to breathe and eventually die because their lungs could not hold air and they could not breathe because of the way they've been placed on the tree or on the cross. It's interesting to note that knowing that this man or this criminal only had limited time, or he had limited oxygen remaining that he could utilize, or limited strength that he could utilize, he still used that oxygen, that time, to insult the King of Kings. He did that. He chose to remain in the mud. He had a choice. The other one realized something to say, yes, we deserve this, but this man does not deserve it. There is something that was happening in his life. And he said, remember me when your kingdom comes. And Jesus gives him a promise, said, today, child of God, salvation is today. When you choose to step out of the mud, you will see the hand of the Lord. Not tomorrow, but today. Allow God to minister in your life. Allow God to work in your life. Don't stay in the mud, even when there's help around you. It's as though there's help. Help is just within. Help was just next to him, but he chose to ignore the help. He chose to insult the help. Many are the times, even when help comes, we avoid it. We choose to stay in the mud. Partly because maybe that's all we know. That's the familiar environment. But look at me, child of God, and look here, and listen carefully. God is not condemning you. He never condemned that man who was about to die. And the man was deserving of death, yes? He was. And he said it himself. He was deserving of death. But Jesus still gave him an opportunity. Jesus wants to give you an opportunity as well. David had messed up, like we heard in the previous weeks. But he couldn't stay that way. He decided to step out. He called on God. He chose to get out of the mud. And God was willing and is still willing today to get us out of the mud. But he won't force us. He will not force you. The prodigal son got to the point that he began to eat pig food. That was his mud. But in that pig food situation, he realized one thing. This is not my place. And so he rises up and chooses to step out of the mud and run back to his loving father. We have a loving father who is always waiting for us. Come back, child of God. You may have lost it on the way. You're a Christian, you've been saved. But now, no fellowship. You're not even attending connection group. Probably you've slipped back into sin. Come back home. Get out of that mud. It's not going to help you. That is not your identity. Your identity is that you are a child of God. When I began, today I shared a story of a bird that could sing. And there came a point when that bird was traumatized by what happened. The bird stopped singing because of the trauma. The little bird would never sing again. All he would do is just look around and stare. Some of us get shocked when bad things happen to us. Or when we fall into sin, we just sit there to say, that's the way I am. We get discouraged and sometimes we give up. Because things have been hard. Everything has been pressing your way. You choose to see it in the mud. Because the mud may not just be sin. The mud may be a difficult situation and you say, this is the way it is. I'll just be like this. Child of God, something's got to be different. Because God wants you to sing again. He wants you to sing again. He wants you to be full of joy and celebrate his goodness. Therefore, you come out and testify to say, I have seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The goodness of the Lord is not only to be experienced in heaven, child of God. It is to be experienced even here on earth. Which leads me to my third and last point, which is that the Lord restores. The Lord restores. In Psalm 40 and verse 3, he says, and he hath put a new song in my mouth. The Lord has put a new song in my mouth because of the great things that he has done. He says, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it. And fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Shall trust in the Lord. Child of God, I came to remind you this morning that do not let the devil steal your song. Yes, you may have messed up. Yes, you may have failed one way. Yes, things may have gone down the other way. Or maybe your business was dying. Child of God, do not let the devil steal your song. Rise up and praise the Lord, even in the midst of the chaos. Because he says, I will put a new song in thy mouth. Praise unto the Lord. God puts a new song in our mouth. He does. And he is doing it. Because the Lord restores. I'm reminded of a psalm. Psalm 126. And it says, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion. Hallelujah. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion. We were like those who dreamed. Child of God, this will be a confession. Because at the end of this situation, at the end of this pandemic, we shall sing and declare, when the Lord restores the fortunes of Zion, His people, we were like those who dreamed. Because it may seem as though things will not change. We got acclimatized to the mud. We got acclimatized to the situation, the pandemic. We got acclimatized to the trouble. But the Lord will set us free because the Lord restores. And it will be as though it were a dream. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter. Our tongues with songs of joy. That is what the Lord is saying in your life today. That your mouth will be filled with laughter and your tongue with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. And we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. The Lord will restore your life. He's able to restore even that which the cankerworms have eaten. The Lord is able to restore. He is able to restore. And the Lord will restore even in your life. What seems like we've lost, the Lord is able to restore the joy. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Listen to me, child of God. Why am I so confident that the Lord will restore and bring back the joy in our mouths and be able to celebrate the goodness of the Lord? Why is that so? Because I know one thing. He's the God of a comeback. The same God that raised Christ from the dead. He will restore you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6, he says, we of course, I'm reading from the Message translation, we of course have plenty of wisdom to pass on to you. Once you get your feet on firm spiritual ground, but it is not popular wisdom, the fashionable wisdom of high-priced experts that will be out of debt in a year. Also, God's wisdom is something mysterious that goes deep into the interior of His purposes. You do not find it lying around on the surface. It is not the latest message, but more like the oldest, what God determined as a way to bring out His best in us. For long ago, before we ever arrived on the scene, He already had a plan for you. Before you arrived on the scene. I love what is being mentioned next here. It says, the experts of our day haven't a clue about what this eternal plan is. If they had, they would not have killed the Master of God. Designed life on the cross. That is why we have this scripture that says, no eye has ever seen or heard anything like this. Never so much as imagined anything quite like it, what God has arranged for those who love Him. If they had known, they would not have crucified Jesus. If they had known. This encourages me, child of God. Because later on He says, but you have seen and heard it because God by His Spirit has brought it out, all out, to the open before you. Child of God, we serve a mighty God. He says, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They would not have crucified Him. They wouldn't. There was something that God was doing here. And when I think of this, I think of how Jesus was crucified. He then died, and I'm sure then the devil thought he has won. Because he's dead. But child of God, there was a third day that was coming. He never saw it coming. The devil never saw it coming. We serve a God of a comeback. And on the third day, the Bible says, He rose from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead. And if Jesus, who died, rose again, and he lives today, that gives me assurance and I know for sure that God is a God that restores. Even something that seemed to have died will come back to life. And that is why he says, the same spirit that rose Christ from the dead is able to quicken your mortal bodies. Therefore, today I'm asking you, surrender to him. Surrender to God. He will set you free. He will help you. He will help you. He will help you. In conclusion, let me say this. If you're discouraged, or maybe you're upset, or maybe you found yourself in a pit of despair, clean out your mouth, child of God. Wipe your eyes. Dust yourself off and sing praises to God. Call on the name of the Lord. Get out of the mud, because the Lord will restore you. He will set your feet upon the rock of ages that cannot be shaken. His name is Jesus. He is a loving Father. I'm reminded of a story in the book by Louis Giglio, The Comeback. He says, talks about a lady who had reached a point of giving up because she was into drugs. She sold her body for sex and everything like that. And she was driving to work, wanting to drive off so she could kill herself. But she could not gather the strength to kill herself. And so when she went for work, she used to work in a dance club, and she was an exotic dancer. But there were some people from a church that would visit. And she was so upset that she knocked off before time, and as she was walking out, bumped into these people, these sisters from a certain church. And then she began to open up and say, "This is my story. Can your God help me? What can you or your God do?" Without much response, the lady that listened said, "Thank you for sharing your story. And I'm sorry for what you've been through." And just those words began to melt her heart, that she began to respond to Jesus. And she called on the name of the Lord. And the drug addiction that she had was gone. Because from that moment, she began to take steps towards Jesus. And that real story is a story of a woman called Rachel who was set free. Cleansed, washed, sober today. Jesus is a restorer. You might be listening to me today and watching this, and it might be a different situation for you. I'd like to tell you, God can restore your life. Call on him. So peradventure you're listening and watching today and you're thinking, "You know what, I need God." You may not have messed up like that woman I've talked about, Rachel, but you know that if you were to die today, you know, you're not even sure where you would go, whether you'd go to heaven. I'd like to give you an opportunity that you accept Jesus, that he may restore your life. So wherever you are and you're saying, "Pastor, I would like to accept Jesus." Put down whatever you have in your hands and just, if you can stand with me, stand wherever you are. Lift up your hands to heaven. And I want you to pray after me. Pray this prayer out loud. "God, I come to you. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe that Jesus is Lord. Therefore, I confess it. And I believe he was raised from the dead. Make me your child today. Accept me as your own. Jesus, I receive you in my life. And thank you for setting me free. In your name I pray. Amen." Wow. If you prayed that prayer, The Lord has not only restored your life, the Bible says that you are a new creation. The old is gone. All things are new. You are a child of God. And so we would like to walk with you in this new journey that you began if you pray that prayer. And so if you pray that prayer, we kindly ask that, please let us know in the comment section, inbox us on Facebook as well. And let us know that you pray that prayer and somebody will call you, someone from our team will reach out to you. We want to give you a book that will help you in this decision that you've made, this beautiful journey you've made, because this is the best decision you ever make in your life. Praise the Lord. And as we come to a close, in case you have a need in your life, we have wonderful people that would like to pray with you. There are numbers on the screen that you can call for counseling and prayer. Please make use of them. Call. There's somebody waiting, wanting to be of help to you, wanting to stand with you in prayer and help you in that situation. You don't have to do it alone. You don't have to be there alone. God wants to help you. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning. But before we go, I'd like to pray with you. Father, I thank you for your love and your grace. I thank you that you are the restorer of lives. And I thank you for those lives that you're restoring today. And I thank you that even in the midst of this pandemic and challenge, we are coming out stronger. That we shall speak and declare that when the Lord restored the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Lord, thank you that you're setting us free from every challenge. And I pray that you go before your people in all that they do. Bless the works of their hands and help them in every situation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you so much. We love you. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.